The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Hello and welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren Lojudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. Well, how's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I've been, you know, I had the post-tour, like, come down with my nervous system back to normal, whatever normal is. And I've been seeing a lot of shows. I've been doing a lot of stuff, too, but I've been taking the time definitely to see shows because I love seeing shows. Oh, my God. You got a show? Let me know. I want to come see it. I love seeing what other people are dreaming up and thinking about. And I've, you know, noticed something that I think might be useful to some of y'all. Because a lot of us out there are doing creative endeavors, or maybe you just like get people together, or you just, you know, you're into whatever your creativity in your life or professionally, okay? And you often are such a harsh critic of your own creative enterprise. And, you know, going to shows, I think I am so less judgmental as an audience member than I am as a producer. I'm just like, my God, like when I'm creating my own shows, I'm just always so paranoid about who's in the audience, how many people are in the audience, how what the turnout was, what the response was. But as an audience member, you know, I'm not thinking about or caring about how many people are in the audience. In fact, when I think the audience is light, I think, wow, everyone's dumb. Like, this is awesome. They totally missed out. And I feel like, wow, I think I discovered something really special because not everyone else knows that. I went to a show. It was on the first day of when it was finally the cold broke and it was warm. And everyone's frolicking around New York City and it's a Sunday and it's getting dark late. And the show was by a legend who was doing it in the venue they usually do. And it was a third full. Like, what can you do in a situation like that? Sometimes the world just moves people in these ways. And the more I produce shows, the more I see it's just like so much is based on just like patterns of during the year when like certain people are feeling a certain way, like something happens in the world and like people either really want to come out or really don't. And there's nothing you could do about that. So you just enjoy it. Just know that no one else is worrying about it. You just got to like really feel like just do your best and have the most fun and don't worry about it. Just that's a producing problem for later. But in the moment, just have a blast. Know that no one's judging or like affecting their experience based on all of these tangential things. Just rock on. Just rock on and have a good time. Because that's what I've been doing. And let me know about your shows. I'll totally come. Before we get to our Misfit melodrama with Michael Walsh, reminder, please rate and review the podcast. Social proof is super important for Misfits because Misfits trust other Misfits to know what's good. Also, you could sign up for monthly updates at laurenlowg.com or you could sponsor a podcast. We make it accessible for individuals or small companies. Just go to laurenlowg.com, click on listen and podcast and contact us there. All right, today we are doing some Misfit melodrama. Yes. We have on Michael Walsh, who's a comedian around New York City, and we'll talk about his podcast, I'll Grieve You With This, and we'll also take some audience-submitted stories, some Misfit stories from y'all. You got a story you want to share? Send it on in. Reach out to us at 646-YANG-0X1. That's 646-YANG-0X1. Y'all, leave us a message. We'll respond. So excited to do so. All right, let's get to the Misfit melodrama with Michael Walsh of I'll Grieve You With This. All right, Michael Walsh, thank you for joining us for Misfits Making It.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, before we get into the Misfit melodrama, tell us about your podcast, Grieve With Me. Grieve With You.
It's called I'll Grieve You With This.
I'll Grieve You With This. Okay, I've fucked it up twice.
You're not the first. You won't be the last. So I have a podcast wherein, so I do stand-up comedy, and I got a dead father. And so the premise is basically I interview comedians and comedy-adjacent people, but mostly comedians, about people they've lost, the sense of humor of their dead, parents or siblings or whoever it might be. I ask them, like, you know, the first time they laughed after, you know, stuff that happened at the funeral. Mostly it's just a DIY therapy project for myself. But I've been doing it for like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Starting to slowly but surely build. So I'm pretty, can I ask how I got on your radar?
I am not exactly sure. I know that, like, as I'm like just around Instagram, if I see a podcast that looks interesting, sure. That's how. And then I think it's like I see if like people I know with taste are liking it, following it, that I'm like, okay, nice. I trust them. And then I just like go through and I listen to one. Then that's how I decide. Yeah.
Sure. Cool. Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's kind of a dice roll for me when I have people on also, because sometimes people will ask me to do podcasts and I'm like, no, are you funny? I don't say that, of course, obviously, but like, you know, or sometimes people that aren't even in comedy are like, hey, I like that you're doing this. Can I tell you about my so-and-so? And I'm like, I really appreciate that. But also, I am not a therapist in any capacity. I'm just.
Right. I think is really cool about what you're doing is that, like, I didn't feel on it that people were trying to be glib about it and like trying to be funny. Like, funny moments came out of it, but it was an honest and real conversation.
Sure. I'm definitely going more sincere than satire. I try to, you know, and then the funny moments are for me particularly funny because they're coming from such a real place. And
yeah.
Oftentimes people are like, oh, I totally forgot that crazy thing that happened at the funeral, because, you know, it's not like the type of memories you really revisit from time to time. But yeah, sometimes people will be like, so is this supposed to be like funny? And I'm like, no. I mean, I would love to find humorous moments, but I'd rather you know, I try to be, you know, delicate with it because I know it's other people's stories.
Yeah. I mean, you go right there. You're just like, tell me the name. How did they die? Like, you're
right. Yeah. It's very little in the way of like pleasantries. And then I'm like, well, let's cut to the chase. Who were they to you? How did it happen? And I sort of defer to the guest as to, like, you know, how much they want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really cool. And how of like, so what have you learned about grieving after doing so many episodes for such a long time?
Wow. I guess that everybody has some sort of pain that they're holding on to that they kind of want to share. But it's pretty taboo. I mean, not taboo, but nobody really wants to be like, hey, look at me, I'm sad. Especially if we live in such a digital era, it's kind of hard to be to project when you're feeling, you know, weak or something. Even when I promote the podcast, I'm like, I kind of want to post like a funny meme today. But also I have this really sincere post I want to make about my father or someone else's story. And it's funny to juxtapose like the gotta get likes era with the also of like, this is a thing that I'm genuinely proud of, but I don't really know how to package. That's probably why it's like, you know, I put up so many flyers and stickers, and the people that do listen when they message me, it's like the most validating thing in the world. I feel very flattered. People will be like, hey, it's a 2-year anniversary of my brother or something like that.
Yeah.
But that said, it's still kind of hard to be like, hey, guys, like and subscribe. You know,
right. More death for you. Right. More death stories. Right. I know what you mean. Because, you know, Misfits Making It. And also in general, like my content is I don't focus on the negative stuff. Like all of this thing people are doing with like stitching in and takedowns and reply, like I don't want to do it because I feel like that I'm living in the negative part, but the internet thrives on negativity and thrives on conflict and heartwarming stuff. Like you're sincere and you're just like, hi, this is what it is. And I feel your pain.
Yeah. Sincerity is hard to go viral with. Nobody's like, oh man, this really made me miss my mom. I should share it every
platform. Yeah, I know. There's maybe some marketing genius out there who can solve these problems for us. And if you're out there, let us know. Yes, we have
budget
questions.
Is zero, but I'll definitely include your name in the
show notes.
The description.
I'm getting caught.
How long have you been doing
Misfits Making It? Since like 2019, 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's been something that like I've done, contextualized and done in my life. Just like, I feel like I've had great conversations with interesting people I would never get to meet otherwise and been really inspired. Like some of them I like re-listen a few times because they're just sure. Like, I'm like, oh, that person is so interesting and like giving like such real advice about like being weird and like living according to your own standard and stuff. And it's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. That's and awesome. And so what we're doing here is Misfit Melodrama. We're about to jump in. And this is everyone. We have audience submitted stories from the Misfit Variety Show. And no, always when we riff, we're riffing. We make fun of ourselves more than anyone. Like, please, we're the worst. And we're going to let you know that. And if you too want to submit a story, you can leave a message at 646-WANG-0X1. There you go. All right, so here we go. We're going to get started. I'm going to do one or two, and then I'm going to bring in my character, Carmela Ravoli. She's in from Boca Raton, Florida, and she wants to riff with us. So here we go. So let's read the first one. A standout moment when you felt like a misfit. Can be embarrassing story, crazy family story, unconventional origin story, and or unique life experience. Okay. So this says, when my brother said he wanted a picture with his mother and sister in front of his grandparents' house. So they took a picture and nobody noticed he didn't mean me. Wait, my birth brother said he wanted a picture with his mother and sister in front of his grandparents' house. So they took a picture. Oh, you know what? I bet you this is someone who is maybe, yeah, I guess maybe like a birth brother. So maybe she's like the adopted one or something, like this. It sounds like this is what something is behind, right?
Sure. Wouldn't birth brother just be brother?
right.
So what's the story here? They took a photo and she was not included in it?
Yeah, I guess a family photo. The main thing is like, you know, I'm donor conceived and this gets hairy. This is why we like use terms like birth brother, social, because you're just like, I don't know. Was it the person you were raised with or the person who you met 5 years ago because you found them on Ancestry? It gets so hairy in this world.
Yeah.
So that's why we do it, because it's like shorthand for like, fuck. A long story, shorthand for a long story. So,
real quick, have you tried to find your donor?
I did. Oh, I met him.
Oh, okay. Wow. Cool. Well, that's probably the whole thing you've had episodes about. That's you might be more qualified to answer this question than I am, but.
Guess the main thing is like, not being like when this gets hairy with these relationships, like, it's like you just met this person, but like, are you included in the family photo?
Sure.
Uh-oh, I'm not sure. We have sound effects here.
Nice.
Okay. So what is it? What do you think? How do you handle this kind of situation? This is so sticky.
Interesting. Almost everyone I know besides myself has like step or half siblings. I just have a nuclear family. Sorry. Oh, wow. I love that. Give me a badumpchink and that, you know, when I drop a good line. let me think. I mean, I guess, what is the question? Like, what should I do when my feelings are hurt in this situation?
I guess the basic thing is like, it's not so much a question as much as they're sharing like a moment of hurt when they felt really bad and like an outsider because like they weren't included in this family photo that like maybe when, you know, what do you do? I don't know what the answer is. I think it's just like, just go with the flow and just let it happen, I think.
I would say you post it on Reddit and you say, hey, could you guys please edit me into this so I'm part of the family? And then, you know, Reddit will do its thing. They'll edit all of your family out, put your head on all of their faces. You know how they
Right. That's the way to do it.
I would say turning to the internet is probably the best advice in any situation. Just post your vulnerability online. Make sure you include your life details. Get doxed. I mean, it probably comes down to having a conversation, if I'm giving actual honest feedback. Talk to your brother, say, hey, what's up? Why am I not included? And if he's like, well, you know, because I don't view you as family, then talk to your therapist about it and be like, what's up? You know, I mean, therapy is also another good answer for most.
Or start a podcast about it. My brother won't talk to me. My brother's not
go.
My
yeah.
my brother.
Or turn it into a one-person play, and then that's how you get the message across to them. You're like, hey, I'm doing promo for my new Fringe show.
Yeah. And you perform
it. Why am I out of the frame?
out of the frame is the thing. Okay.
I mean, I guess that's what's just make sure that your feelings are known. That's about it. Don't be ashamed to make your feelings known.
Hell yeah. I think that's it. All right. So speaking of people being known, let's bring on Carmela Rivoli, and I'm going to put on her accoutrement because I've just used to do her, just bring her on. And then when I would do a clip, we release a clip on Instagram on Instagram, and people didn't know what I was doing. They're like, why are you making that weird face and talking funny? I'm like, okay. All right.
Yeah, this is not you. This is from all the way from Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton, Florida. Here we go. Hi, Micah. Nice to meet you.
Oh yeah. Hey, nice to meet you as well.
Okay,
remind me your name.
Carmela Rivoli.
Carmela Rivoli. Not Ravioli. Rivoli.
Rivoli. Thank
okay,
you.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. I don't want it to smack you in the face. Okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Please
saying
don't.
My name wrong. What is that you have on your shirt? What is that? It says, what did you?
It says, what did you write today? You know, kind of like those shopping bags that say, thank you for shopping here.
So are you shaming yourself to write?
I guess that's sort of the idea. Well, it's more of like, hey, you know, looking in the mirror and being like, oh, I haven't written a joke in months. Maybe I should be more productive.
So what have you written today, Mr. Micah?
Oh, I haven't anything. I just woke up to talk to you.
Wow. What were you doing last night? So exciting.
Interesting. I went to a couple of open mic, you know, did a little comedy routine with my jokes.
Okay.
Here in Brooklyn.
All right, you were out till that late doing the open mics? Wow.
Yeah, you know, I'm just chasing this dream.
Okay, all right, chasing the thing. Okay, well, good for you. Good for you. Out late. We support that. Doing your thing. Okay. All right, here's another story. Here we go. Naked swimming in high school. Yes, we had to swim without trunks, don't it? Wait a minute. They had to swim without trunks? In high school, I don't know, this person went to some cult or something. I don't know. Have you ever heard of this?
I swam in middle school, but there was clothing involved, mostly swimsuits.
Right. It's interesting. Okay, well, that's great. They felt like a misfit. So have you ever gone swimming naked, Micah?
No. Wait, maybe. No, I don't think so. I was pretty modest growing up, but I definitely grew up in the era of, like, you have to change in the locker room with, like, all your boys and your enemies alike. And I was definitely sort of the crouch and turn away, you know. I don't think they do that anymore. I'm a millennial, but I'm pretty sure nowadays children aren't allowed to, do unsupervised changing in locker rooms. And I think that's an improvement in society, me personally.
Well, okay, wait, let's go back. I said I wasn't in these men's locker rooms. So what happens? What's so bad?
Well, it's mostly just you have to, like, you shower and you, like, you know, because you're a child. Well, you're a sweaty little 12-year-old and they need to get the chlorine off you. And this is, you know, or this is pre 9/11. This is before we knew people had bad intentions in the world. And that's about it. You just change and then you swim. And I guess that's part of the American education. I can't name more than five presidents, but I can know how to. I can dog paddle from one side to the other. So
wait, the thing is, would they make it fun of each other's penis or something? Like, what's the
trauma?
Guess, well,
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, not even. Yeah, or complimenting it. The coach was always looking at mine and telling me it looked great, and I didn't really like that at all. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. A little joke about sexual impropriety, but that is the type of shit that happened back then. But I don't even know why we had a swimming pool. That doesn't seem relevant to, you know, learning math. But
yeah, it's interesting. Well, you're probably one of the last people to actually have a swimming pool because what school can afford it anymore? So, yeah. So, you know.
Little fact, my school, that school has now been bulldozed. So rest in peace to Woodland.
Yeah, Hill. There we go.
It's a Pizza Hut Express.
Okay. All right. So we like that. Okay. So it says, this person feels like a misfit because they still text in full sentences. Capital letters and punctuation. Do you text in full sentences?
I don't like texting at all. But I will abbreviate it. You know, I'll hit them with an LOL every now and then. I don't think I'm hitting them with, like, commas and punctuation like that. That's why they feel like a misfit?
Hmm. Yeah. You know what? You'd be surprised in this, Micah.
I feel like people should include their age so I can have a little more context. I'm a person who doesn't like texting at all. I must be old because I'd rather call people up and have like a 90-second conversation.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, it's interesting. We've done this all over the place. And I will say more conservative areas are usually more like the little things. But this was from New York City. And I think it was maybe, if I'm trying to remember, it was maybe something in the 20s said this.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That's probably why they feel like a misfit, because, you know, that era, they're just hitting people with like an emoji and like some sort of abbreviation that I don't know what it stands for. So I can see how they might stick out. If you're 24 years old and you're texting full sentences to the group chat, they might think that you're weird. But, you know, it's okay to be weird.
Right. You know, I think it's, you know, I ran a lot of old people in Boca Raton, and people, they don't text in full sentences because they don't know how to type. They sit there with the one finger. It's so embarrassing. Then, like, let's go further down the line. Gen X, they're just so stressed out. They don't know, you know, they're trying a little better. Millennials do, like, okay, you know, sort of apathetic, beaten down by life.
More emails than texts.
Yes. They're
more of the per my last email generation.
Yeah. And then the youngers, the like the 20 somethings, the Gen Zs, either they can't even put two sentences together, or they have impeccable grammar. And I'm like, where the fuck do you come from?
Not Boca Raton, I tell you that much.
You mean the complete grammar?
No, I'm just wondering what's the Gen Z scene in Boca Raton?
Well, there's hardly any Gen Zs, but you know, we're all olds out there. Makes sense. It's just all old people homes. The Gen Zs, but it's Florida education system, so whatever. They're just walking around on drugs
worshiping a cardboard cutout of what's his name? Not Ron DeSantis. Who's the guy you got down there? Fucking
Ron DeSantis.
Rubio.
Yeah, we got.
No, not him. Either way,
Marco Rubio.
You're going to have to edit that out and then add in the correct.
All right, whatever. We don't know anything in it. We don't have to edit. We are just boo on Florida. That's what we need.
The audience turned on us.
The thing is that we're booing Florida. Because the thing is, I live there, whatever. It's fine, the palm trees. But, you know, all the idiots that run the show, we don't need to get your name right. That's right, we don't know your name. You know why? Because you're just a bunch of fucks, okay? And I live there and I'm pissed off at you and you're a bunch of sour sap idiots.
Tell them.
All right. Okay. My brother insulted my mother intentionally by telling her that her bolognese sucks.
Oh, my God. So we can tell from context that it's an Italian mother, which makes it much worse that he would insult her cooking. Sorry. Is there more to the question?
Oh, that's it.
And I think insane. Because if it's like, if you're like, oh, my mother's like, I don't know, fucking, a tater tot hot dish, some Midwestern shit. I don't like it anymore. That's fine. But a bolognese, that's not something that like a fucking, you know. There's a really special relationship between mothers and their adult sons in the Italian world to an unhealthy degree. I've been to Italy a bunch. Those motherfuckers live with their mothers until they're like 35. But you really can't insult your mothers culturally.
Bolognese.
And I'm not even... Maybe it was bad, but just culturally, you're not allowed to.
You gotta shut your mouth.
Italian mother's cooking. That's my saying.
I think that's like knives were out after that. That's awful. They were out of the will. Michael Walsh, what ethnicity is this?
I'm Irish German, mostly. Just a bunch of alcoholic Nazi stock.
Okay. Okay. You
know, mostly
all
Irish,
right.
Though.
Walsh. Okay.
Irish
Catholic. You don't. Well, what do you make for the food? What's the? Do you make anything?
Me?
Do you have culture? Your family? Do
oh,
you have
yeah,
like what
yeah,
would be
yeah,
your
yeah.
core
leverage
to the
make?
Bolognese?
I'm not a big like sauerkraut or like worst thing, but I guess that's what Germans make. Let's see. What do Irish people eat? Fucking potatoes and haggis? I'm not
you
really
know what?
Into
this
either.
Is what happened at a show. We made a joke, you know, something like whatever Irish people eat. And then every single time, it's usually non-Irish people have to say whatever. Oh, it's the corned beef and hash. I'm like, whatever tasteless bullshit they want to say, they don't eat nothing. What do they got for cool culture? No offense, Michael Walsh.
You're good. So how's this for me not living up to my Irish heritage? Literally across the street from us, and I'm probably doxing myself, but there's a bar that's called Walsh's Pub, and they got all sorts of Irish shit on the wall. Never once have I walked in there. I'm like, not
You
really.
Ever bad.
I know I'm a bad, but here's the thing. I I don't love when Italians are like Italian Americans like, hey, fucking spaghetti. But it makes more sense than German Americans being like, oh, I'm really proud of Germany. And Irish people, in my experience, they're like a sad and also joyous people, but they're not, they don't take all that much pride. Irish Americans, I don't see a ton of Irish Americans, and for maybe a good reason. Their food sucks, and people really hated us when we first moved here. But so yeah, I like a good burger, and that's probably about as American as food gets.
Well, you said, okay, you don't like when Italians say, oh, the spaghetti, why don't you like that? What's your problem?
No, I just think Italian-Americans are much, they're far removed from Italians, and they, like, mispronounce all the things. They're like, mozzarella, and you say mozzarella in Naples, they look at you like you're an alien.
Right. Well, it is. I agree. It's very, like, overdone or whatever. I'm just I'm from Brooklyn. That's okay. What I am.
Yeah, of course.
Right. It is a little bit embarrassing.
Probably, right?
Of course. Where else do you want to be from? Yeah.
All right. Well, so you got, you're Italian.
Yeah, but I agree. It's like people like overdo it. Like, oh, I'm like so with the old country. It's like they're over there, you know, their clothes are always too small, like always so small, and they don't eat anything. You know, they eat light and they're European.
Yeah,
they're
not. If you go to Italy, they don't look like Tony Soprano. You
know? No.
They look like fucking, you know, supermodels. Everybody there.
So I'm going to say this.
Wearing like 3-piece suits.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say this. People are going to say I'm being whatever, but it's the truth. Someone came here. My Italian relatives came here. The first thing off the, I was like, they were in New York. I was like, well, everyone's going to kind of be a little bit of an asshole. Get ready for it. Everyone's a little rude. But they were like, no, the people are great. Just everyone's so fat.
Yeah. So it's very true. You can identify Americans pretty easily, even in New York City.
It's just they don't have that. They just don't eat like we do, and their food is fresh. So that's why. That's the other thing. Italy, you know, the economy comes crashing down, and they just go, oh, whatever. We got, you know, mozzarella. We got wine. We got cheese.
They're fine.
They're fine.
They'll just keep making pizza and drinking wine long after the Armageddon and apocalypse.
That's fine. It's the cultural difference, and we're naming it here. It's just facts, people. Don't come at me later with all you said. It's the fat people are wrong. I'm just saying. My relative said it, so leave me the fuck alone. Yes. Okay.
Please don't cancel anyone today.
Yeah, we don't need to. The thing is, great, Micah, it's amazing. You can't cancel me because I'm retired.
Hey, there you go.
That's the solution to life. Okay. All right. Here's another one. Let's do one more. When my family, some not all, put peer pressure on me for something I did, they look in a circle. Look at this. It feels very millennial of them, doesn't
it?
When my family, some not all, put peer pressure on me for something I did not want to do, my mother stood up for me and said, that's okay. He can do what he believes in. I think that's true. This stood out to me as what I think is true. So someone put peer pressure on you and then your mother stood up for you. Well, first of all, you got to stand up for yourself, okay? I mean, I'm glad your mother did it, but I hope you next time you're able to get a fucking spine. What do you think, Micah?
I say grow up. It's cool that you have your mother's love. Don't ever tell her bolognese is not good because you might lose it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's nice that your mom's in your corner, but literally the older I get, the more I realize my peers are assholes. I mean, some of them are friends, but like their opinion at the end of the day, not that important. So
doesn't matter.
You know, keep doing what you're doing. And it's cool that your mom loves you, but don't lean into that too hard because then you'll end up being one of these Italians, you know, well into your 30s, having your mother do your laundry. And there's things to be said about that. But if you live in America, that's not a good look. If you live in Italy, that's fine. But yeah, you know, don't worry about what your peers are saying.
That's the thing is like, you got to find it in yourself. And that's cool. Your mother's cool. That's nice because some people are assholes. But like, you know, this is interesting. This misfit melodrama has turned a little bit into therapy. We are giving more, you know, what comes out, everyone's personality, you know, and what they do the best usually comes out. And that's how we present. We give you help here with this misfit melodrama. You know, it's just that people are so, you know what I'm finding out? People are so in their head about feeling different or the things in their past that have marked them. It is often very small.
Oh, almost all the time. That thing that you were hyper like speculating about and repeating in your mind, that mistake you made like 7 years ago, nobody at the time even noticed it. So let that shit go. You know, you're right. This is, I'm sorry I didn't really bring the melodrama and the silly. This is more like me on my little amateur therapist couch, but you got to let shit go. Don't worry about what other people are thinking about. It's easier said than done. Eat some mushrooms. Let your ego fucking fall apart.
Well, the more we do this, the more we're seeing the melodrama is kind of ironic because it's like you're saying, it's never big. It's always like this, you know, in their head, and they just are like, can't let it go. That's what it is. Oh, usually. That's usually stuff. Yeah.
Unless you did really fucked up, in which case you should feel bad about that. But that's, you know, unrelated.
Yeah, yeah.
You're probably most people are doing fine.
Yeah, you're probably fine. We are all trying our best. And that we get a little fairy dust. Okay. So, all right, listen, I got to go. It's happy I was somewhere. Okay, so I'm going to go.
All right.
Micah, you've been great. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Good to see you.
Thank you. See you later.
Go get a margarita.
All right. And that was Carmella.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank. She likes you. She likes you a lot. Nice. She doesn't like everyone, so.
Sometimes she fights with the guest. Yeah. Well, she seemed pretty agreeable to me.
Yeah, she's pretty fun. Well, you know, you have the vibe. It's good. You just vibed. All right. So, Micah, tell us where we can come find you and your podcast.
My podcast is called I'll Grieve You With This. I have logos all over the city that kind of look like this. So if you see me putting up stickers, it's me. If you want to introduce yourself, I don't have a promo team. It's a one-man operation. But yeah, you know, listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere. If you really want to do the extra mile and make me feel good, you could like and subscribe or leave a 5-star rating and let the algorithm know that you have a little sadness in your heart, but it would help spread the message. And that's about it. Oh, and I'm Micah_Walsh, or maybe.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. I just don't think people understand like how much rate in review actually matters, and everyone counts, and it absolutely same thing with this one. It's like really really just please just push the stars, just do it,
right? It's so easy,
right?
But yeah,
cool. All right, well, thank you, dude. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate you having me on.
Okay,
take care.
There we have it. You can follow Misfits Making It on my social pages at Lauren Logi on all the things, Instagram especially, and also X Twitter thing and Threads and TikTok and YouTube Shorts and all the things. You can get updates and inside info by joining my email list at www.laurenlogi.com. Thank you to Ani Makutsian for editing, Edward Sheila at Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Thank you to Maureen Asiant for our new music and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast. And thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.